Welcome to the Hacking Happy Podcast, a podcast designed to arm you with the tools and experiments that enable you to define happiness on your terms and inject more of it into each day. I'm your host, Penny Lacasso. I'm the world's first happiness hacker, and I have a bold mission. A mission to teach 10 million humans how to realize happiness on their terms by 2025. So, if you're ready to ignite your self-belief and inject more of what makes you feel good into each day, let's get started. Greetings, happiness hackers, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy Podcast. Today's a little bit special because I'm going to share with you a passion project that I have invested a lot of time in over the last month and a bit, and it's something that I'm extremely excited, if that's the right word, to share with you today, because it's a really important issue and it's an issue that we need to look at and talk about more widely. So allow me to explain. The past 18 months, I have watched a shift, a visible shift in the mental health and well-being, a particular shift in the well-being and mental health of women and of mothers. I personally have felt the shift myself. As a single parent who has now been locked down for over 230 days in total, with not an end date in sight thus far, whose business was hit severely by the pandemic, who had to adapt to homeschooling, for which the equivalent is now a full year of my son being at home learning. As a woman whose main energy source is human connection, of which I've had extremely limited access to over the last 18 months. Now, I have tapped into every tool to manage my well-being during this time. All the scientifically validated mindset and habit hacks I use in my work, gone and done my yoga teacher training, I do yoga every day, I meditate, I journal, I do HIIT workouts, I walk for hours in parks, and yet still, some days I haven't wanted to even get out of bed, let alone felt motivated to do anything. Now, I suppose you could say I'm lucky because until now, I have never in 46 years of my life felt this way. Perhaps I'm lucky, but what I couldn't ignore in all of this was the fact that so many other women that I have been connecting with, be they friends or just random strangers that I've met in the park, were in the same boat. Never had they been challenged from a mental health, from a well-being perspective, but now they are. This is why, it's part of the reason why I made the commitment to reinvest in my education and go back to university and study psychology. It's also the reason why I chose to do my first uni assignment on how social isolation, increased workload in the home, and escalating uncertainty driven by the COVID-19 restrictions are accelerating the level of mental health and well-being issues in Australian women, but equally in women all around the world. And so today I want to share with you that piece of work. Yes, it's an academic literature review, which basically looks at not my opinion, but all of the evidence and research out there to support what this issue looks like. So it's not written how I would normally write. It's going to sound a bit formal, but I'm going to share it anyway. The insight is profound. And it paints a disturbing picture of the psychological distress the number one caregivers in our society, both up and down the generational chain, are under. My hope in sharing this work here on my podcast and through the other platforms that I have available to me is that it will elevate, it will shine a spotlight on the support women need to not only cope, but to grow and thrive on the other side of this pandemic. That it will open a broader conversation on what we can do and what we must do to make that happen and make it happen now. So here goes, my friends. On March 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization formally announced COVID-19 as a pandemic, sending the globe into unprecedented human separation activation, including social distancing, lockdowns, and border closures in order to curb the spread of the virus. This literature review will explore how social isolation, increased workload in the home, and escalating uncertainty driven by COVID-19 restrictions are accelerating the level of mental health and well-being issues in Australian women. The evidence provided will shine a spotlight on how the divide is widening when it comes to women in realising the United Nations Global Sustainable Development Goals, numbers 3 and 5, which seek to ensure healthy lives, promote well-being, and realise gender equality. Keyes and Reif's self-concept theory relating to the subjective change in mental health provides a lens in which we can view gender roles, compliance to government restrictions, and a shift in attitudes that are negatively impacting women's self-perception, their esteem, and their motivation. According to the United Nations, women undertake the lion's share of home chores and caring to the tune of 3 times that of their male partners. When COVID-19 lockdowns hit, schools closed, domestic support ground to a halt, and family routines were thrown into chaos, seeing mothers in heterosexual relationships assuming the bulk of the responsibility in alignment with traditional gender roles. Stanton et al. Research, of which 67% of respondents were women, highlighted that 48.9% of Australian adults decreased their physical activity, 40.7% increased their alcohol intake, and 48.9% experienced compromised sleep since the onset of COVID-19. These shifts in behaviour are connected with elevated mental health challenges in which women indicated considerably heightened scores. Partner these insights with the fact that access to healthcare during the pandemic changed significantly, driving uncertainty around how to seek help, which in turn impacted women's propensity to seek support when mental health challenges presented. 61% of women have found that their chores in the home have increased, while 76% highlighted that in parallel, their paid workload had also grown. Whilst encouragingly, the support of men in the home has grown during the pandemic, research by Fries et al. Exposed that 22% of women spent 3 hours a day caring for and schooling their children in this new world. The pervasive uncertainty of COVID-19 exposed that women experienced a greater level of fear associated with COVID-19, and perhaps rightly so. Women were more likely to lose their jobs as a result of COVID-19 due to the industries that attract women being most impacted. Furthermore, Pets et al. Suggests a direct association between the loss of home support and the likelihood of job loss for women with young children. Morgan and Boxall affirm that an elevation of financial strain during the pandemic increased the likelihood of first-time violence by 1.8 times. Comparatively, 53.1% of women who had previously encountered intimate partner violence experienced an elevation in the occurrence and the severity of violence towards them since the pandemic hit. Of particular note is that women of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander descent were at high risk of experiencing violence if abuse of either a verbal, controlling, or violent nature had been experienced prior to the pandemic. According to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, almost 3 million women, that's 23%, are experiencing high psychological distress. 35% feel their well-being is between good and very good. That is a 35% decline from pre-COVID times. Rahman et al. Postulates that being female in the pandemic has a direct correlation with higher distress across multiple countries, including Australia. In addition, Stanton found that mothers and single women of middle age were more likely to experience psychological distress. Applying the self-concept theory relating to subjective change in mental health infers that there is a direct correlation between a decline in one's view of self and their mental health, providing a basis to better understand the impact COVID-19 is having on the well-being of women. The evidence presented suggests that women's self-concept is likely to have declined as a result of the disruption to their environment and home routines, driving what Keyes and Reif refer to as a double dose impact, which basically reduces one's positive whilst increases one's negative mental health. When self-consistency is compromised, it influences one's self-esteem and feeling of control over one's life and environment, propelling the need to adapt routines, which results in increased distress. It is possible that the increase in paid and at-home workload, along with the end to domestic support, has disrupted women's beliefs in their capabilities to the point where this is where it gets disturbing, guys. 23% of these women are now considering opting out of the paid workforce. Self-enhancement is purported by the self-concept theory as a means by which one evaluates their growth, which in turn impacts one's self-perception. With ongoing worry about job loss, a home workload that feels impossible to keep up with, restless sleep, rising frequency in domestic violence, and increased anxiety ubiquitous in Australian women, the likelihood of there being room, let alone the energy for self-enhancement, is low, further impacting the self-concept of these women adversely. The limitations of this literature review are unsettling, as the long-term scale of the mental health and well-being challenges in Australian women cannot be determined due to social isolation and extended lockdowns continuing in the two largest cities of Australia, both Melbourne and Sydney. However, the self-concept theory provides an excellent basis for where further research could be undertaken to better understand the true depth of the problem and develop a roadmap for how governments and organisations can support the amplification of well-being in women. With approximately 10 million Australians still under lockdown at the time of writing this paper, it is likely that the well-being challenges of women that I have shared today are understated. There is a clear opportunity for a comprehensive national longitudinal study that seeks to understand the implications of restrictions on the workload, well-being, safety, finances, and careers of Australian women. A particular focus on minority groups is recommended, including Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, given their higher propensity for social disadvantage. Equally, given Melbourne women have now been locked down in excess of 220 days under what is considered to be one of the strictest COVID-19 lockdowns in the world, gaining insight into their mental health and well-being and how it has been impacted comparative to the rest of Australia would prove powerful to offering specific solutions to those most impacted. Understanding how women can be supported even amidst ongoing restrictions in making positive changes that enable feelings of self-consistency are likely to improve self-confidence, intrinsic motivation, and action, which in turn elevates women's well-being. Research that seeks to understand what support would be most helpful to women in alleviating the unsustainable workload whilst maintaining paid work participation and creating space for activities that make them feel physically and mentally well should be of the highest priority. This research should also seek to understand what it would take to incentivize men to provide more equal support in the home. The insights gleaned would form the basis of a roadmap for government and organisational initiatives that bolster all-round well-being whilst reducing the exit of women from paid work and career progression. The evidence clearly supports the exacerbation of mental health and well-being issues in Australian women as a result of COVID-19 restrictions, moving the realisation of the United Nations Global Sustainable Development Goals to ensure healthy lives and promote well-being and realise gender equality to a place that feels like it's out of reach. We cannot ignore the societal ramifications of failing to support the number one caregivers in our communities, nor the impact a 23% exit of females from the paid workforce could have on the significant investment made in driving gender equality in leadership roles, salary, and career progression to date. The hope is that the evidence provided advances the conversation and action needed by government and organisations to prioritise the well-being of Australian women, particularly those most vulnerable. And that's it, my friends. That is the paper. So if this topic is of interest to you in your work as a leader or just in general, you are welcome to download the full literature review via the link in show notes. I'll pop it there. If you are passionate about elevating the mental wealth of women in your work, please reach out and let's have a conversation around how I can support you in that space. Until next time, happiness looks good on you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for joining me for today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. If there was something that ignited a flame or sparked a thought within you from this conversation, please take a screenshot and share it on your preferred social media platform. Feel free to tag me in Hacking Happy Co. or Penny Lacalso. Reviews are so important to reaching my goal of making 10 million beautiful humans just like yourself happier. So if you enjoyed your listen, please take a moment, leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. Until the next episode, remember, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.